Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Bitter Fruit by Lois Clorac Hart, narrated by Anastasia Whatley. Chapter 1. I'm bored. Uh-oh. Victoria glanced at Jack, whose restless gaze swept the bar, stopping occasionally to scan a knot of people or linger on a woman sitting alone. Victoria sighed. I should have stayed home tonight. You were the one who talked me into a girl's night out. Roger's out of town. There was no point in you sitting home all alone. But did it have to be the Ark? What's wrong with the Ark? The music is good, drinks are reasonable. Jack's gaze followed a woman walking past them. The women are fine. What's not to like? The fact that I'm really tired of being your wing woman. Just once I'd like to go to a regular bar. Just once. Why couldn't we try Marco's on 17th? Marco's? You're married and I'm gay. If we go to Marco's, neither of us are getting lucky tonight. At least here. She winked. Yeah, I know. Here, you can walk up to just about any woman and find a cure for your ennui. Victoria rolled her eyes. Just about? You doubt me, old friend? Victoria groaned, dropped her head on the bar, and thumped it a few times. God forbid that I ever doubt Jack the Invincible, Jack the Seductress, Jack the Temptress, Jack the oomph. Okay, I get your point. Jack laughed and removed her hand from Victoria's mouth. You are such an arrogant bitch. True, but you love me. Jack sipped her drink, surveying the room. So, what's the matter? Don't see anyone to your liking tonight? Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'm not in the mood or something. Jesus, Vic, look at them. Victoria glanced over her shoulder. What's the matter with them? Jack sighed, turned her back to the crowd, and signaled the bartender for another round. Nothing, really. Awfully vanilla, though. Hell, they'd probably go running to Mommy if I turned one of them over my knee. Well, if that's the problem, why don't you go to Souterre? The ultra-secretive private club was notorious for catering to those with darker sexual tastes, and though Victoria had never been there, Jack was a frequent patron. Jack continued to stare at the bottles lined up behind the bar, her expression unreadable. Maybe later. She threw some bills on the bar, then downed half the scotch in one swallow. There's no challenge anymore. Not here, not at Souterre. Nowhere. Victoria scowled. It's not like you can have absolutely any woman you want, you know. Jack's eyebrow rose. Is that a challenge? Victoria froze, and a cold sweat broke out on her forehead. When she failed to respond, Jack smirked and looked away. Suddenly, Victoria wanted nothing so much as to win a round from her charismatic friend. Jack had always been the alpha female in their friendship, and as much as Victoria loved her, she ached to claim the laurels at least once. She didn't allow for second thoughts. Yes, it is. Now both eyebrows rose, and Jack straightened. Name your terms. I select the target. You have 1 month, exactly 31 days, to get her into bed or you lose. Victoria was nauseous, but she couldn't back down now. And the wager? Victoria hesitated. She had intended to bet money, but impulsively altered her conditions. If you win, I'll talk Roger into us going to Souterre with you. Jack tilted her head. I didn't think you had any interest in the club, but all right. And if you win? Not that there's a chance you will, mind you. Victoria clenched her hands around her martini glass and refused to meet Jack's gaze. If I win, you forget about your rules and lines of demarcation and come to the mountains with me for a whole weekend. There was a sharp intake of breath. Victoria finally forced herself to look up. Jack's expression was grave. That really doesn't sound like a good idea. Do you understand the risks? We've been partway down this path before, and it didn't work out well for any of us. Victoria was acutely aware that what she was proposing had the potential to destroy their friendship and her marriage. Jack had always been adamantly against crossing that line, but Victoria was helpless to resist a chance, however remote, to be with the only woman who haunted her erotic dreams. "That's the deal. Take it or leave it." "Dr. Eichler would have my head if he could hear me, but I don't care." Long moments passed until Victoria became sure that her challenge would be refused. "You're on, but only because I know you're going to lose." Victoria exhaled deeply and her hands trembled. She didn't know whether to celebrate or pass out. Jack focused a cool, businesslike gaze on Victoria. "So, who's the target?" "Her name is Lauren Blaine. She's a young woman I work with at the agency." "Tell me about her." "She's a great kid, one of those people who has a real deep-down goodness to her, you know. As for looks, she's cute. Not very tall, but you can tell she's in good shape. She's got short, dark hair, kind of shaggy, and big, innocent eyes that see right through you." "So what aren't you telling me?" Victoria knew Jack wouldn't renege now that she had accepted the challenge, so, with a smile, she threw down her ace. "She's straight and engaged to be married." Jack shrugged. "Minor details. So, when and how do I meet her?" "I'm taking her out to lunch on Monday for her 25th birthday. Why don't you meet us at the Airy for lunch, about 1? "Done." Victoria raised a finger. "And your 31 days start ticking off the moment you meet her." "All right, but I have terms too. You're not allowed to run me down to her or say or do anything to influence the outcome of the bet. Agreed?" "Agreed." Jack pushed away from the bar. "I'll see you on Monday." Victoria watched Jack prowl the crowded room. She wasn't the least bit surprised when Jack moved in on the women around the pool table and skillfully separated a curly-haired blonde from the pack. Jack leaned close, lightly running one finger down the woman's arm as she whispered to her. When the blonde laughed and wrapped an arm around Jack's waist, Victoria shook her head. "Here we go again." The evening ended in its usual precipitous manner when Jack and the other woman left the bar shortly thereafter. "Why do I always do this to myself? I could turn down her invitations. I don't have to say yes." She sighed. "Get real. You'll take being with her any way you can, and you know it." People were Jack's friends on Jack's terms. If they didn't accept that, she made no effort to try to change their minds. No one, friend or lover, ever truly pierced her impassive exterior. Part of Victoria's sexual obsession was a desire to see if Jack even let herself go in the throes of passion. That, and the fact that you know she'd twist you in knots and wring you inside out. Exasperated with herself, Victoria banished that line of thinking and contemplated the wager. She had a minor crisis of conscience about turning a wolf loose on the vulnerable young woman with whom she shared an office. But Lauren was devoted to her fiancé. All she talked about was house hunting and planning their life together. She's way too committed to fall for Jack. Banishing any ethical qualms, Victoria pushed her empty glass across the bar and shook her head at the bartender. She twisted her wedding ring several times on her finger as her conscience pricked her. "I didn't do anything wrong." As she left the bar, she tried hard to stop imagining what Jack and the blonde were up to. She failed. "I called a cab for you. It'll be waiting downstairs. I've already taken care of the fare." Jack held out the woman's coat and purse. "I can stay, you know. I don't have to hurry home."
"Yes, you do.
I have to be up very early for another engagement, and it wouldn't be fair to you to roust you out of here at 5 o'clock in the morning." "All right." The woman took a card from her purse and scrawled on the back. "Here's my number. I had fun tonight, and I'd love to do it again sometime." "It was wonderful, wasn't it? Are you okay going down by yourself, or would you like me to walk you?"
"Please say no."
The woman leaned close and slipped her hand inside Jack's gown to fondle her breasts.
If you walk me down, we might not make it outside.
Jack fought to stop herself from flinching. She gently but firmly removed the woman's hand, taking it between hers.
As lovely as that sounds, I really need to get some sleep tonight.
Your loss.
Indeed.
Take care of yourself, and thank you again for this evening.
My pleasure.
The woman waved and left the loft. Jack locked the door, leaned against it, and closed her eyes.
Remind me again why I thought that was a good idea.
She turned off the lights and walked to her windows, where she watched her latest conquest get into the taxi. When the car drove away, she lifted her gaze to the cityscape, bright with lights across the river.
Are there any truly happy people out there?
She glanced at the clock. 12:07.
I wonder if Mark's still up. It's not even midnight, his time.
Jack picked up the phone and hit the speed dial for her brother, but the call went straight to voicemail. She ended it without leaving a message. For a long moment, she stared at the receiver, trying to think who else might help ease the profound melancholy that shrouded her thoughts.
No one.
If you took Mark and Victoria out of the picture, there wasn't a single soul she could call in the midnight hours.
God, how pathetic.
With a weary shake of her head, she set the phone down and turned to climb the stairs back to her bedroom. Chapter 2. Lauren glanced at Philip, who was totally focused on a tiny screen. He hadn't looked up from his smartphone since they'd left the city. Everyone's really looking forward to meeting you. Mom's making a big Sunday dinner, and she asked me what your favorites were. Phil grunted without looking up. Courtney, Adam, and Anjali couldn't make it down from Edmonton, but I think everyone else will be there.
Trying to watch the game here, babe.
Lauren sighed. He wouldn't even say hi when she and her mother Skyped. It had taken months to convince him to go home with her to meet her family.
Please make an effort, hon. These are going to be your in-laws, after all, the grandparents of our children.
He sighed and lowered his phone.
I'm going, aren't I? I gave up 3 games this afternoon.
The roar of a crowd rose up from his phone, and he snatched it up.
Yes, touchdown!
Uh-huh. You gave up the games, all right.
Lauren shook her head and focused on the road. The narrow, straight lane ran between fields that were golden in the early September sunlight. Her heart rate picked up as she spotted the Andersons' distinctive barn-shaped mailbox. 5 minutes to home. She hadn't made the trip from the city since mid-August, and she could hardly wait to see her family. Phil and Jason should get along well. They're both sports crazy. When Lauren turned into the long driveway, her mother and brother were in the front yard watching 2 small boys pick up windfalls under the apple trees.
Oh, good! Brian and Andrea made it. You'll love my nephews. They're adorable.
She waved at her mother and slowed as her nephews ran toward the car.
Who's the dude in the wheelchair?
Phil asked. That's my brother, Zach. He's got cerebral palsy.
He's black.
So? I've told you 6 of my siblings are adopted.
Phil shot her a frown.
Yeah, but you never said one of them was black.
And one sister is East Indian and one has Downs. So what? They're my family. That's all that matters.
Lauren parked her car next to 2 pickup trucks, turned off the engine, and hopped out. She swept Jacob and Nick into her arms, laughing as they smothered her with wet kisses.
Did you bring us something, Auntie Lori? Jacob asked. Bring, bring, bring,
Nick echoed. Lauren managed to get a hand into her jacket pocket and came up with 2 Tootsie Pops.
Something like this, you mean?
She grinned at their squeals of delight.
Come on, you two. Let your auntie catch her breath.
Lauren's mother pried 3-year-old Nick out of her arms. Go tell your daddy that his little sister is here. 5-year-old Jacob squirmed to break free of Lauren's embrace.
Me too, me too. I want to go tell daddy too.
She laughed and set him down to chase after his brother. Her mother used her apron to wipe Lauren's face.
Sorry about that. They were having such fun gathering pineapples for me that I couldn't say no when they wanted one to eat. She wrapped her arms around Lauren and hugged her. It's so good to have you home. Happy almost birthday, Lori. Thanks, Mom. Lauren turned to Phil and gestured him forward. Mom, this is Philip. Phil, this is my mom, Cynthia. Phil shook her hand.
Nice to meet you.
You too, Cynthia said. We've been so looking forward to this. She patted Lauren's arm. Why don't we go up to the house? You're probably thirsty after that long drive. Lauren laughed.
It's only a couple of hours, Mom. I didn't exactly have to pack up the wagon train to make the trip.
Her mother chuckled and linked arms with Lauren. They walked up the pathway with Phil trailing behind. Is Dad working today?
He was, but he'll be in soon. He and Jason are finishing the last of the harvest. The rain last week delayed them, but your dad thinks it'll be a bumper crop this year.
That's wonderful. Lauren stopped to kneel at Zach's side and hugged him gently.
Hey, sweetie, how's my favorite little brother?
She held steady while his arms jerked around her and he rested his head on her shoulder.
Mom said your new therapist is working wonders.
She's a pistol, all right, isn't she, son? Cynthia smiled at him. Zach's eyes shone as he nodded. Lauren rose and turned to Phil.
Phil, this is my brother Zach.
The door opened and Lauren grinned.
And this is my big brother Brian and his beautiful wife Andrea.
Andrea laughed and shifted Nick to her other hip. You are such a charmer. It's a wonder you've stayed single this long. She hugged Lauren and extended a hand to Phil. We've heard so much about you. It's a pleasure to meet you at last.
Thanks.
Phil shook hands with Andrea and then Brian before an explosion of noise emanated from his phone and he snuck a glance. Lauren rolled her eyes.
Don't mind him. His Seahawks are playing. The world could come to an end and he wouldn't notice.
I've got the game on inside, Brian said. You're welcome to join me.
Awesome. Phil started to follow Brian, Jacob trailing behind them, when Sarah came out of the door and immediately wrapped her arms around Phil. She giggled, jouncing him up and down. He flinched and tried to pull free. Lauren winced. She'd cautioned Phil about Sarah's affectionate reaction to complete strangers. I guess he forgot. Sarah, come say hi to your sister. Cynthia held out her hand. Sarah let go, and Phil bolted into the house. Lauren exchanged hugs with Sarah.
See my new shoes, Lori?
I do. They're beautiful. Lauren admired Sarah's shoes as she lifted each foot up.
Did Mom help you choose them?
Uh-uh. I picked them out all by myself.
Do you want to see my new coat? Mom helped me pick that out.
Lauren slung an arm around Sarah's shoulders.
I'd love to see it.
After Lauren admired the additions to Sarah's wardrobe and spent time with Zach, she went to find Phil, who was in the living room with Brian.
Would you like to come on a tour of the property, hun? It'll be a couple of hours until dinner. Lots of time to show you all my favorite spots.
Never taking his eyes off the TV, Phil shook his head.
Maybe later, babe. The fourth quarter just started and the Seahawks are only down by 3.
Lauren watched him for a moment, then turned away. Guess I'll go help Mom. Lauren leaned over to whisper in Phil's ear.
Please turn it off. Mom's rule is no phones at the dinner table.
He scowled, but muted the phone and put it in his pocket.
So, Phil, Lori tells us you work with your dad.
Stephen nodded at Jason.
I don't know how I'd run this place without my son. Your father must be thrilled that you joined the family business. I guess.
Phil heaped more chicken onto his plate. There are branches of Emerson's Luxury Auto in Calgary, Lethbridge, and Edmonton now, Dad, Lauren said. Phil is in sales, but he was promoted to management a few months ago, just after we got engaged. Frank, that's Phil's dad, says at the rate Phil's learning the ropes, he'll be able to take early retirement.
Okay, a little exaggeration, but what can it hurt?
If Phil is in luxury autos, why are you still driving that old bug?
Jason winked at her. Phil snorted.
That's what I keep telling her. It's not good for our image when she runs around town in that bucket of bolts.
It's not a bucket of bolts, Lauren said. It served me well since I left high school, and it deserves better than being thrown over for some fancy piece of tin. Phil bristled.
Fancy piece of tin? I'm not asking you to drive a Porsche, for God's sake, but you could at least let me put you in a Lincoln or an Audi.
Which you would sell right out from under me in a heartbeat if you found a buyer for it, so no thanks. The Beetle may have a few miles on it, but it's mine and it's paid for. I like your yellow car, Sarah said.
Lauren smiled.
Thanks, sweetie. I do too. She glanced at her mother. Cynthia met her gaze for a moment, then turned to help Zack.
Damn it. No one's teasing. This isn't good.
Whenever one of her siblings brought someone home to meet the family, they were usually subjected to endless teasing. Everyone had been perfectly polite to Phil all afternoon, but not even Jason had cracked a joke. After dinner, Lauren helped her mother clean up the kitchen. Philip poked his head around the door jamb.
Can we get going, babe? I'm going to miss the second half of the night game if we don't leave now.
Lauren hung up her dish towel. All right, I'll be there in a moment. Thanks very much for dinner, Mom. It was fabulous, as always.
You're welcome. You're always welcome, you know that.
Would you like to take a couple slices of pie home with you?
No, thanks. You save the rest. I know how much Jason and Sarah love your pie.
I made 3 pies, lots for everyone, though I do wish you'd let me make you a birthday cake. It just doesn't seem right not to have one when your big day is tomorrow.
I appreciate it, Mom, I really do. But there was enough stress with introducing Phil to the family. I didn't want to add to the hassle.
Pshht. As if celebrating any of your birthdays is ever anything but a pleasure.
Lauren hugged her mother.
Please don't worry about it. You made my favorite key lime pie, and that's always a special treat.
All right. But I do have some presents for you to take home, and don't even think of telling me no.
Lauren chuckled. I wouldn't dream of it.
Are you sure Phil wouldn't like another piece of pie for later?
Lauren hesitated. Phil had eaten 2 slices at dinner.
If you're sure you can spare one,
I can. Cynthia busied herself slicing and wrapping a generous wedge.
Mom?
Yes.
Cynthia met Lauren's plaintive gaze. You've been awfully quiet. Is everything all right?
Of course. I'm just a little preoccupied, that's all. I've got a lot on the schedule this week.
I know, but...
Lauren wasn't sure she wanted to put her question into words.
Cynthia reached for Lauren and pulled her into a long hug. With a sigh, she finally released her.
I'm sure he'll grow on us, sweetie. All that matters is that you love him.
She pressed her lips firmly together and handed Lauren the pie.
You make sure you stay in touch now, okay? Zack and Sarah love to see you on Skype, and so do I. Makes me forget you're so far away in the big city.
Between me, Courtney, Anjali, and Adam, you must spend half your time on Skype.
Cynthia laughed.
Not quite, and your brother isn't nearly as good as you and your sisters about staying in touch, but it does liven up the evenings when you all call.
She walked Lauren to the front door, where her family waited to share hugs and kisses.
Lauren glanced out at the car. Phil was already sitting in the passenger seat, his head down.
You come back soon, Andrea said. The boys miss their auntie.
You mean they miss the Tootsie Pops?
Lauren knelt and hugged the boys one last time.
You two be good, and I'll see what I can bring the next trip, okay?
Cynthia pulled a brown grocery bag out of the closet and handed it to Lauren. There were several brightly wrapped packages inside.
Thanks, Mom. I'll Skype you tomorrow evening, okay? I can't let your special day go by without singing to you.
Lauren nodded.
Looking forward to it.
Her family followed her down the ramp to her car.
We miss you, her father said. Don't stay away too long.
Jason waved.
See you next time.
The drive home was quiet. Phil was lost in his game. Lauren was lost in her thoughts.
Chapter 3 Lauren looked up from the computer when Victoria stopped by her desk.
Are we still on for lunch today, birthday girl?
That sounds wonderful, but you really don't have to treat. I'd be happy to pay my own way.
Victoria waved a dismissive hand.
Don't be silly. Of course it's my treat. It's your special day. But I did want to ask if you'd mind if an old friend of mine joins us.
Of course not. Any friend of yours and all that.
Thanks. I should warn you that Jack can sometimes be a little overpowering. I think it's because she had to fight so hard to make it up the corporate ladder, and it's hardened her a little. But she's got a good heart, and she and I go way back.
No worries. I look forward to meeting her.
Victoria perched on the corner of her desk.
So, did Phil give you a birthday present yet?
No. He never said anything this morning, but then he was running late and in such a hurry that he almost forgot his phone.
Oh my God, not his phone. I'm sure he has romantic plans for later tonight.
Maybe. Probably. Hopefully.
How did it go with introducing him to your family this weekend? Did they think he was the best thing since sliced bread?
It went well, I think. You know how these things go. First meetings with the in-laws to be. People just need time to get to know each other, so it was a little stiff.
I know exactly what you mean. The first time I met Roger's mother, I was so focused on being on my best behavior that I'm sure she thought he was engaged to a stick in the mud.
Lauren laughed. I can't even imagine you being a stick in the mud.
Neither could Roger's mother after the stagette party.
Victoria winked and stood up.
Well, I'd best get back to work. I told Jack we'd meet her about 1 at the Airy. Is that good for you? Irene and Janet said they'd cover for us.
Sure, that sounds fine.
Jack glanced from the data on her computer screen to the time. She had 45 minutes before she was to meet up with Victoria, and she needed to pick up the first element of her campaign. Jack enjoyed the anticipation that curled within. Victoria's challenge had been completely unexpected, but welcome. There weren't a lot of thrills left in her job. Her earlier years with the bank had provided the stimulation of climbing the corporate ladder, and she had taken great satisfaction in advancing from being a freshly minted MBA to senior sales leader commercial lending in record time. The men who once trained her now reported to her, a fact that occasioned some resentment in the lower echelons. For the most part, she ignored the rumblings of discontent and muffled complaints of gender preference. At 34, she had forged her career advancement much as a general would wage a military campaign, understanding her opponents, her allies, and the field of battle, with intimate savvy and unrelenting hard work. And, of course, it helped to have no home life and no domestic commitments. She sighed. In the past few months, her 6-figure income, the downtown loft overlooking the river, and the perks her wealth and position brought her felt like small compensation for the loneliness that dogged her with increasing frequency. At least the bet was a break in her routine.
Jack wrenched her mind from its maudlin track.
All right, that's enough of that nonsense. She had an excellent job, terrific prospects, and an intriguing challenge to keep her attention for the next month. Once she had bedded Victoria's friend, she would turn serious attention to achieving the next level in management. Jacqueline Lanier, Senior Executive. I like the sound of that.
Jack paused in the alcove of the restaurant. She spotted Victoria and another woman seated at a corner table and took a moment to study her prey. Vic hadn't lied. The woman was cute, in a girl-next-door kind of way. Lauren had a slim, compact build and a sweet, open face with a healthy crop of freckles. Sunbeams danced off her chestnut hair, illuminating red highlights. Jack spoke briefly to the maitre d', handed her coat to the attendant, and began to make her way across the floor. She held a slim, paper-wrapped cylinder.
Did Vic say what color her eyes are? I can't remember.
Jack prided herself on her excellent memory for details, and this challenge was going to demand the utmost from her intelligence, charm, and strategic skills.
Just then, Lauren looked up and met Jack's gaze.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?